Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Vegas, what is up, everybody, and welcome into the DMVR Nuggets podcast. Presented, as always, by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Use promo code DNVR whenever you sign up and gamble along with us for Summer League. Why not? We'll have some bets for you tomorrow or the day after. I can't wait to share those. We are going to be, if you did not tune in yesterday, first of all, shame on you.
That's right.
Never miss an episode. Absolute shame on you. But if you did not, you did not know, we are going to Las Vegas tomorrow, not just as DNVR, not just as the three of us. We're going to be joined by D-Line Co., who has been in an undisclosed country for the last 10 days or so. He is joining us back. He's going to be refreshed. What kind of Eric do you think we're getting tomorrow, guys?
The best.
We're getting the top Eric. I can't wait.
We're either getting the best or the worst. He's either going to be high on life or he's just going to be grumpy as hell from all this traveling.
That's true. He's like had a great time, and then he's just back to us a-holes. Like, it's going to be like, guys again. But hopefully, I'm counting on the top Eric, actually. I'm counting on the top Eric. We're also going to have superstar Dev in the house. We're going to have super producer Kale in the house. We're going to have Ryan Green capturing it all on camera and sending some stuff. So if you're not subscribed to us on YouTube, what are you doing? Now is the time. Hit that alert button, because we're not just going to be having podcasts once a day going up. We're going to have all kinds of micro content from the house. Three-point competition. We're doing a three-point shootout, guys. We have a basketball court at ours. I can't wait to see Brendan Vogt's three-point numbers. They're going to be absolutely fantastic. And then on top of that, we're also going to be with CHGO, PHNX. We're going to have the Olympics. I can't wait for it. We're going to be playing lots of different games. We're just going to dominate them. We might win every gold. I don't know. I'm so confident in our athletic prowess relative to these other markets. I don't know about you, fellas.
I mean, I did retire from competitive basketball 2 years ago.
Are you coming out of retirement?
I can come out of retirement for the three-point shootout. That I can definitely come out of retirement for.
I don't think we're doing any – I mean, we'll probably play basketball, some of us, just for fun. But there's no way we're going to film the basketball part of it. It's too heated. Also,
that's a huge relief. I got excited all over again just now.
I mean, first of all, are you kidding me? I mean, come on. Nobody would score on us. It would take an hour maybe to get the game through, but nobody.
Do you guys think Baku plays hard on defense?
Yeah, folks, just injuring everyone. So I'm excited for that. Look, I got the fellas in the house today wearing his Hawaiian shirt. It's Brendan. Actually, you know, this is like elevated trucker. This is like this would be like Hawaii meets Arkansas.
Oh, who's in cult packs there? Do we got sirens?
Are you about to spout off a take? Is that the take mobile coming to
watch out?
Get you for your take?
No, this is my my Vineyard trucker hat. I went to Palisade for the first time this weekend.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Wonderful. What a treat.
I'm telling you, it's one of those gems. Like the whole western slope, the whole western side of the divide is just, it's an underrated, I shouldn't say anything, everybody's going to go there.
That's right.
Down below, the man with beautiful wind, our hair flapping in the wind, it's Harrison Wind.
I've got to shout out this comment really quick. I haven't been this hyped for Summer League in some time. This is me before every single Summer
League. Yeah, it's so true. When does the excitement wane for the, like, for Summer League?
After the first game.
First half, you're like,
definitely after the first game, you're like, okay, how long are we staying here for?
Enough banter, guys, because we have a lot to get into. This is our last show before we go to Vegas. We'll probably do something in Vegas. We might have some special guests lined up at the house, working on some of the details there. I'm very excited for a lot of that content. But before we get into that, I want to give a primer today of all of the guys, everything you need to know. I feel like we have a good view of both the players, obviously, that are already on the roster and the guys that are vying for that final two-way spot. And there's a lot of interesting guys. This is a year where I don't feel like there's just one guy. Let's keep an eye on him. You know, I've talked in years past to some of the people that assemble the roster and, you know, it's, hey, Kenrich Williams, keep an eye on that guy. Or, hey, it's
Terrence Davis,
keep an eye on that guy. Like, they give you the name. This is a year where it's like, hey, man, there's like 2, 3, 4 guys that all are – those are names. And so I'm kind of excited for that. I feel like it'll be a competitive battle to see who shines. But before we get to all of that, we had Denver Nuggets practice today at Ball Arena, and there was more news, including Michael Malone, who spoke to the media for the first time really since the draft, I believe. Harrison, why don't you walk us through what happened today at Ball Arena?
Yeah, well, first off, I just got to kind of set the stage. Michael Malone isn't one to give a lot of just random press conferences during the offseason, I feel like. He's given 2 since Tim Connelly has left for Minnesota. Just, I don't know what that means. I have some theories about what that could mean, but just keep that maybe tucked in the back of your brain here.
Well, first of all, you can't say you have theories without giving us the theories. I want to hear this theory.
Okay. I wasn't prepared to share this. I shared this with in the parking lot. This was a parking lot theory, Adam.
This is not a report. This isn't even necessarily
Don't aggregate this.
Look at him pulling. First of all, he's pulling a wind horse right now. Do you see what he's doing?
It's his Harrison wind horse in the flesh.
So Tim Connelly is no longer here. He's in Minnesota. Calvin Booth is a GM. He's in charge.
Why would he take that job?
I just feel like Malone, like I said, I don't know this. I haven't asked him this. This is just me speculating. I wonder if Malone wants to become more of a figurehead, more of have a more of a presence of, you know, a leader of this franchise. Because he's really been the voice of this team these last several years, but I feel like with Tim Connelly gone, he can kind of maybe even establish a little more of that voice. I just thought it was interesting because there we go. Conspiracy corner.
Great job.
Yeah. Yeah. He hasn't done this a lot in the past, and he's done 2 press scrums since Tim Connelly left. I think there's something there.
This was a total wind horse here. It really was. I see why you didn't want to share this on the air, because this is one of those things where you're like, take note of it. I'm not saying this is happening, but it's something that crossed my mind. Because if you say this, then it gets back to some people who are like, what do you think? You know, it's put in a bad light. Is he trying to seize power? Is this like a, you know, we're going into the art of
war? Well, now you're just trying to get me in trouble.
No, I'm not. What I'm saying is, like, I don't want people thinking you're saying this. You just might feel like, look, Tim Connelly was the first guy. Actually, Josh Kroenke was the first guy in at this new era. Then it was Tim Connelly. And then it was like Jokic and Malone at the same time, right? And I'm not saying which one is more important. Just saying what the order was that everybody came to. And so there is this idea of, you know, Michael Malone is now one of the, like, the most senior person in the Denver Nuggets organization of this era. Him and Jokic sort of tied for it. So maybe there is not necessarily a seizing of power, as people might misinterpret what you are saying, but it might be more of a, I am the guy that has been here the longest. Like, I have a responsibility now in some ways to kind of like maintain this moment in time and make sure everything goes peacefully or smoothly or what have you. So
yeah,
I think it's an interesting observation that may or may not be something to kind of monitor and keep an eye on. This book.
Yeah. All right, let's get to what actually happened. What I can report actually happened at Nuggets practice today. A lot of Jamal Murray. I think we should start there, because when Malone was talking today, he said that Jamal played 5-on-5 yesterday, Tuesday, when Denver scrimmaged. And Malone called it the most serious 5-on-5 that he's played at any point during his rehab. That felt significant, even though it should be assumed, you know?
Right, right.
But it felt meaningful. It felt like something that Malone said. You're like, okay, like, that is a very positive sign.
Well, to do another one of these Windhorst-ian things, when I walked into the gym yesterday for practice, like, people walked up to me to be like, oh yeah, Murray played. Like, sometimes this stuff will happen. We know these guys play, and it's like, hey, maybe it gets out. Some reporter or someone of us ends up prying it out of someone. This was almost like a, hey, Murray played today, guys. Look great. You know, like, it was almost like we're getting this out there. We're not hiding anything here. So I do feel like it is a meaningful week in that it's like we're getting video of him going. We're getting, like, reports about it. Everybody's talking about it. I do feel like it's a meaningful, hey, this is a cool thing.
And then he was there again today. Obviously, the session's yesterday, but he's there, you know, has a ball in his hands, and at least after practice is going through some workouts and some one-on-one with the Rooks and Colin Gillespie and Christian Brown. And that, by the way, got going a little bit. I mean, not obviously full game intensity, but they were going at each other, and it was really fun to see. So it does feel, you know, look, maybe this is a factor in that sort of kind of energy we're feeling in the building and seeing from guys like Malone. It's, I think we're inching back towards regularly scheduled programming here, and there's an air of relief for sure.
Yeah. And Jamal was also dunking a lot. He was trying different dunks. I called it a dunk exhibition on Twitter, maybe a little strong, but the athleticism is there. He had his pop back. I don't know if he ever lost it, but if he did, it's back. And he looked great. Malone said he looked really good. He was talking about the scrimmage yesterday, and he said he looked confident. Like, that was what I wanted to see from him, just the confidence. And, you know, Murray had that yesterday. He said he looked mobile, agile, hostile. He looked confident, and he was moving pretty well. So I thought that was a pretty quality update.
The hostile thing makes for a great quote graphic for sure, but it's also, to me, the meaningful part of the quote. That's Murray being himself has all of these elements to him, and hostile is strong. But
I think
what I mean by that, though, is if in tandem with confidence, it means he's feeling himself. It means he's beating Jamal on the court.
I think it's also a quote from Remember the Titans. So it might just be him alone making pop culture references.
That too.
Nonetheless, but look, man, I mean, I do like it. People seem to be kind of pumped about Jamal Murray being in the building and not just being there. By the way, do you guys remember when Bones Highland first burst onto the scene and everybody was kind of hyping him up? Do you remember Murray on one leg publicly said, like, I just beat him in a free throw contest or whatever? Like, I do feel like there's a little bit of Murray.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Again, this is an Adam theory, just a theory. There's a little bit of Murray who's like, oh, welcome to the gym. You guys know who runs this, right? Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. Introduce myself. You're the guy that can't guard me. Yeah. That's right. Okay. Welcome to the team.
Christian Brown found out he can't score on Jamal Murray or guard him in the post today.
And I love it. This is like a great thing. I love it.
Man. Yeah. It's like a little hazing thing. You got to get worked by Jamal Murray in one-on-one when you arrive on the Nuggets.
The pecking order was awesome. I mean, him, Brown, and Gillespie, and they were all working so hard, but it was like, I mean, Jamal did some teaching for Colin, you know, the Rooks were learning a little bit.
Jamal is such a good one-on-one player, man. Like, it almost gets lost a little bit. It doesn't get lost on anyone watches the team, like in the bubble and when he was really taken off right before the injury, like that one-on-one was his bread and butter. But when you watch him go one-on-one, we get like in these workouts, like he has a different level to him, man. His footwork,
right?
His speed, his confidence, it's all like on full display. He's a hell of a one-on-one player.
Yeah. Malone talked about a bunch of different players today. He touched on a lot of guys. We can start with two of the new additions that he could talk about because those transactions were finalized. KCP and Ish Smith. Malone called KCP a proven two-way player. He pointed out his championship pedigree, good size, and can guard. And he also called KCP a hell of an addition. He's going to defend. He's going to help us not ask so much of Aaron Gordon every single night. Thought that was interesting. And then on Ish Smith, Mike Malone coached.
By the way, we're hearing this more and more about the team. I don't think expects Christian Brown to play, but expects that it's possible. Meaning, like, they're hoping he's ready to play this year. This is not a, like with Peyton Watson, a little bit more, let's, you know, hey, he's a pro, you know, we're going to put him in the G League. We're going to do this, that. But with Christian Brown, I just feel like there's a lot of, hey, we're getting him right away.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Malone said. He's a guy that can play for us this season. He was talking about Christian Brown. He loves his maturity, his IQ, his toughness and physicality. And then Malone just offered a classic Michael Malone line. He said, some guys shy away from physicality. Christian embraces physicality. High IQ, does a good job moving off the ball. I think his upside and potential are tremendous. So
Malone's going to love this dude.
This is a glove on hand coach. Oh,
I said this on draft night. Yeah, Michael Malone is going to love Christian Brown. And then on Ish Smith, Michael Malone coached him in Golden State. He called him one of the best teammates and best pros you're going to find. And then Malone said, every time we play him, he finds a way to kick our butts. Facts.
Love it.
That's the sneaky great part of the signing, is you just don't have to deal with that Tuesday in February, you know?
Yeah. I did try to get Malone to name Bones his backup point guard, though. And he did not.
I thought that was interesting.
He did not. He said it's too early, but also kind of alluded to a competition. And
he's done that
before. He likes competition. He likes training camp battles. I think Bones will probably enter this thing with, you know, it's his to lose. But it was notable, I thought.
Yeah, he used to say that at the shooting guard position, you know, every year as well. Now, in fairness, at some points there were. But I do think he's just a guy who would rather stoke the flames of competition heading into this stage of the season than anything.
Also, I think it speaks to his level of comfort with Bones Highland.
Right.
The ability to just say, oh, you just had an impressive rookie season. Everybody's kind of raving about you. Mm-hmm. Let me challenge you again, like sort of subtly through the media. So totally feel I've classic Malone. If you would have asked me how he'd answer that question, that's 1,000%. Also, I think it's important. I don't think you can just you don't want to create a culture of like this is entitled to you, even though you're not like Bones is such a good player. And we know the organization values him. But I don't think you want to start the like, well, it's just handed to him. It's like, hey, you're still earning your keep here. Come hungry.
Malone also was asked about Zeke Nnaji, and I thought this was a very interesting answer as well.
I agree.
The point he pretty much got to is we need to keep things simple for Zeke. Remember last summer league when Zeke Nnaji went to Vegas and tried to explore his game? Well, I think that happened, and the Nuggets and Michael Malone were like, okay, we don't need that. We need him to keep it simple and do what he does well. Make threes and defend. He's got a rebound at a high rate. Malone said he's got to finish better. And then he was also talking about like what position Zeke Nnaji plays. And Malone started off by saying he was a high school and college center. And then Malone said, I think what happens when you draft guys is sometimes you lose sight of who they are and try to make them into something that he's not. I thought he was going to pivot into saying Zeke could play backup center, but then he did say, he's a power forward. We're just going to have to keep it really simple for him.
So this was to me an extremely, so it's funny. We just talked about, he almost in one way puts down Bones. I'm not saying really puts him down, but just sort of challenges him. Doesn't give him the challenge, like, hey, he has the inside track or whatever, which we all know to be true, but whatever. He doesn't do that. With Zeke, it was almost different. It was almost more pointed. And one of them is, yes, the contrast between last year, exploring your game. We want to see what else there is. Fully explored. Now it's like, hey, let's go back to the thing. Didn't find anything. Let's go back to what you did well. And it almost felt like Malone challenging Zeke in a certain way through the media, again, which we know he does, but almost felt more of a like, hey, these are the we actually don't need a lot from you. We need these few things done at an supremely high level, and they're very valuable to us, and that's what we're hoping to get to. So I agree with him. Everything that he said, I do think it's on the team to put him in positions to succeed. I thought him mentioning he's a power forward was interesting to me because we talked about maybe him playing some center. Now, maybe that means Jeff Green also plays center or something like this, but it is interesting. And then laying out the specifics. He needs to guard. He needs to shoot. And he needs to roll hard and play above the rim. Get to the rim on rolls. And I look – and rebound. And he mentioned rebounding. He needs to rebound. Those things are exactly, I think, spot on. That's exactly what Zeke needs.
Yeah, and this is another example of the sort of philosophy shift here from whatever the last 2 years were and what you called them and approached them. Maybe there was more room for things like exploration and experimentation. Everything is snapped back into win now mode right now. And part of that includes a young player like Zeke missing out on some opportunity with injuries while you pivot from the open-ended development plan to let's turn you into a win-now player because you might be part of this rotation. And if you're in it, it's not necessarily about turning you into like this butterfly. It's about turning you into great in your role. And that's just another example.
Love it.
Yeah. He touched on Peyton Watson real quick, the last guy. He said he'll be down in the G League. He just needs to play. But Malone loves his defensive skill set, and offensively, he's just got to keep things simple. But Malone touched on a lot of players. And the last thing that I've got from him is just kind of on his message to his team. And I think what's the theme of this season, and it kind of goes along the lines of what Malone said right after the season ended. And he does not like, he wants his guys to show it to him, not say it to him. Like, he doesn't want to hear 1-2-3 championship. He wants to see it every single day. The commitment, the execution on the practice court. Like, he wants the championship habits every single day. The big quote he had was, I don't want to hear, you know, like, we want to win a championship. Show it to me. So I feel like that's going to be the theme of the entire season.
Loved it, man. I loved it. And just the Peyton Watson thing, you almost just glossed over. I honestly think Michael Malone is a master of messaging through media. Like, he's talking to a group of us that he always talks to. There's ways he could have gotten this information out. I just feel like he is almost setting the tone for everybody. He's like on a campaign. I'm sure he said this to the players. I'm sure he said this to the training staff who's going to be working with these guys. I'm sure he said it to the agents, you know, that are representing these guys. And this is just his final chance to, like, hey, I want everybody to know Peyton Watson needs to simplify his game. We need him to be, we know he's a great defender already. We need him to pick one or two things to excel at offensively and build off of that. And if you master those one or two things, then you build on this or that. And again, I don't think Michael Malone is saying this directly in response to anything or has this alternate agenda. I think he's saying these things even if nobody on earth had ever spoken and he is just asked about these things. Mm-hmm. But I do think when you look at this and you hear somebody like Peyton Watson say, like, Kevin Durant, Paul George, I do feel like there's almost this level of, you don't need to be working to be those guys. And again, I don't think Peyton Watson's doing this. I'm not trying to, like,
sure.
I don't want people to think I'm, like, mincing his words and and overanalyzing some poor 19-year-old guy for saying something. But what I'm just saying, realistically, it's you need to build a foundation first that it's like you are great at this, and then you add the other pieces. If you think about Jokic, his rookie season, great rebounder. That was automatic. Very good passer. Good fit. Like, that he had to, like, perfect those things and before he could show off all the other things. And I think the same message is sort of there for Peyton Watson. Yeah. What can you do that is NBA ready right now?
Right.
Master that. And then let's build on that, on those talents.
That's his challenge, is a kid who probably at one point in his life, the word star potential was maybe thrown around. And now he's got to look at himself, right, and talk about himself. And more importantly, work like, right, a role player for the time being.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, you can get to being a Paul George level star that way. Like, in fact, oftentimes it does work out that way. It's just that you need to develop your core identity first and foremost.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Last thing I have is just, I think it's definitely something that there are this many players on the actual roster that are in the gym over the summer, because I think, like, it sends a message to the rookies and to the guys who are just joining this team, like, this is how things are done. You know, we're around, like, we want to be here. So I think it's definitely something. It's notable that Jamal Murray, Davon Reed was in the gym today. Zeke Nnaji was there. I think it's just, it speaks to the Nuggets culture.
Yeah. I think it's really cool. I love this time of year. You start to get a little bit of energy. You know, guys start getting together. There's some excitement. So it's awesome. Anything else from the media availability?
Well, you want to talk about Jack White?
No.
Should we do segment two on Jack White?
On the other side, we will get to that in segment two, but we got to hit our first break here as we start to give our primer for Summer League. Very excited for that. Let's take a break. We'll get to that on the other side.
The action never ends at DraftKings Sportsbook, especially this summer. With tons of ways to bet on all your favorite sports, you can fuel your fandom and feel the heat of the season like never before. Plus, right now, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving new customers a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's right. Make your first bet up to $1,000. If it doesn't win, you'll get another shot to cash in. I can't wait to bet on Summer League. I don't recommend it. I'm just saying I probably will bet on it. I don't recommend it, though. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR. Make your first deposit and get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code DNVR only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Also, Green Mountain Dental Group, you guys know about them. They've been with us forever. If you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam at Green Mountain Dental Group, you're going to receive a free Sonicare toothbrush. A lot of us at DNVR, we go to Green Mountain Dental Group. I know a lot of our DNVR members that are local go to Green Mountain Dental Group. They're great at what they do. They're great people. Just 15 minutes from downtown Denver, get a cleaning, x-ray, and exam at Green Mountain Dental Group. Receive a free Sonicare toothbrush today.
All right, let's get into this primer here. I want to start with Christian Brown. I know we've already gone over the scouting reports for him, but I wanted to angle it this way. What is it you're looking for Christian Brown to do in summer league? What is the thing that you're going to be keyed in on? Let's start with you, Vogt.
I mean, obviously you want to see the defense, but that's also kind of what we know he can do. So I might sort of set that aside for now. I'm going to get really specific. Confident catch and shoot, good movement off ball. Just sort of how connected is he without the ball in his hands? Not something I have a ton of questions about. I think this is something he can be good at, but how good will he be at it in summer league would be the kind of thing that could sort of spring my excitement to the next level. Defense is one, but again, I'm sort of expecting that.
By the way, let us know in the comments too. I'm curious what you guys are thinking, what you want to be keyed in on for these guys as we talk about them. When we talk about defense, the Nuggets kind of got a bad draw. I don't know if you guys have looked at this too closely. I was going through who they play. There's really not that many great, like, marquee players. That's not to say they won't be challenged by guys with specific skill sets, but they're not going up against a lot of the top talent across the board in their four pool play games, which is kind of a drag. Like, part of me wants to see Christian Brown go up against the top guards in this draft. Yeah. Because when we talk about defense, I actually do – I don't just count that as pencil it in, he's a great defender. I want to see him go up against the best and see how he fares, because for him to fit on Denver the way we hope, he needs to be the best defender. So I want to see him go up against the best. Now, who's he going to go up against? Melvin Frazier in Minnesota? Okay.
Wendell Moore. It's going to be the Spider-Man meme.
Wendell Moore will be very interesting for sure. He was in that same mold of type of player that we were looking for. I love this one. Second game, Cleveland. He's going to go against his teammates, Chai Abaji. Those guys have guarded each other a lot. So they're going to, in practice, so they're going to match up against each other. And that one should be pretty fun. And then later on, he'll get Brandon Boston. Maybe if Brandon Boston is still playing, I wouldn't be surprised if he plays one or two and then shuts it down. Sure. Isaiah Joe, a good player that he's going to have to fight off ball. And then the other one that I thought was just great, everybody's favorite draft prospect from 2021, Jaden Springer. We're going to have Christian Brown versus Jaden Springer. And what I
can't wait for him to shut his ass down.
I can't either. And I'm very excited for that one because it'll be hilarious if Christian Brown, who Nuggets fans did not want, shuts down Jaden Springer, who has been like a nothing so far in his career, and every Nuggets fan did want. It just would be a hilarious little Easter egg.
They both scored 0 points. That's my
What about you, Harrison? What else is on the docket for you for Christian Brown?
Defense is the biggest thing. I want to see him be an elite summer league defender. I think he should be. I think he can be. Other than that, Zeke Nagy explored his game at summer league. I don't really feel like I want Christian Brown to explore his game. I want to see him do role player type things. Just play smart, shoot when he should shoot, drive when he should drive, make the right pass. I don't want to see him be like a number one option where he's isoing from the top of the key, even though he is the number one guy. And like, I'm sure we'll see that from time to time because that's just how summer league is. But I want to see role player qualities that I can go, okay, he's doing this. He can be a plug-and-play guy on the Nuggets second unit.
One of the things you can see at summer league, it's funny when people say don't count, you know, like summer league doesn't matter. It really does. Like, it just matters in the context of which it is. One of the contexts that is most interesting for summer league is how does a team use a player? And I'm curious to see if Christian Brown, who is the highest draft pick that'll be on this roster, I'm curious if they do make him the featured person on the roster, or if they just don't and they say, hey, we're playing basketball. Like last year, Bones Highland was the featured member of the team, and by halfway through the first game it was like, okay, that's the top dog. Like everybody, even like Zeke Nagy was out there, and it was like clear that this was Bones running the team. I want to see if Christian Brown, he's not a point guard, he doesn't need to try to take anything. I think part of me wants to see the game come to him, but I do want to see if Denver's running actions for him because they're curious about that. I'm kind of curious how they sort of have built this team around him or their strategy around him. I want to see him navigate screens. I know that hasn't been like Denver just needs it so bad. And right. So that specifically is a thing. And you talk about guys like Isaiah Joe, Achai Agbaji. He's probably going to have to do a lot of that. And then the one that you guys didn't mention that's so interesting to me, his intensity. Like, we know one of the things Denver wants out of him is him to be the guy that raises the intensity defensively. I kind of want to see that. Does he get into it with people? Do people hate him by the time a game is done in summer league?
I think there's some Faku energy that hooks in him that looks a lot different manifested in seven, you know, and I think it's going to be a little less cute and charming and maybe even a bit more intimidating at times. Not that I think he's going to scare guys, but just bring that sort of, I'm not backing down energy. And of course that resonates more when you're 6'7". I assume.
Right. Let's move on to Peyton Watson now. Harrison, I'll let you go first. What are you looking for in Peyton Watson?
Well, like Michael Malone outlined, I want to see a simple offensive game from him, taking corner threes, getting to the rim, using his athleticism that way. That's what I want to see on offense. Defense, I feel like he's going to have a couple defensive plays in summer league where we're going to go, wow. Like, did Peyton Watson actually just get that steal? How did he get to that loose ball? Because he's got a freakish wingspan. He's got ridiculous length. I'm excited about what he could do defensively. That's where it starts for him.
Yeah, and I'm curious how he approaches this. Is he trying to be great at two things here, defense and rebounding? Or is he trying to maybe show off what has suddenly sort of fallen off of his scouting report in terms of potential on the other end? So this is a guy who maybe we learn more from the way he approaches it than how well he plays.
Yeah, it's funny, man, because he doesn't have great matchups either. I mean, the Boston matchup might be an interesting one for him, but the same thing, you go down the list and it's not that many like dynamic. He doesn't get to go up against a Cade or, you know, one of these guys that you're like, okay, that's a real challenge, unfortunately. But I do want to see that defense in him, like even more so than Christian Brown. Christian Brown, I feel confident he's going to have the runway for us to see a lot of data points of him over the course of summer league. Next year, G League, whatever it is that he plays, we're going to get a lot. With Peyton, I feel like he's going to be in the G League. This is our first and really earliest look. I need to see him, a guy that averaged 3 points per game, I need to see him be the best defender on the court and maybe the best defender in summer league. I remember last year, Davion Mitchell in summer league, it was hilarious. Like, the highlights were hilarious because it was like these rookie point guards are trying to dribble up the court and he's just stealing it from him at half court every single time. I want to see if we get something like that out of Peyton Watson, where it's like, okay, well, we have that one guy, at least in summer league, who is a total cancellation, just cancels one guy out.
What if this just is a full defense team and then they give the ball to Teddy Allen for 10 seconds?
It's interesting because the Nuggets summer league team doesn't have a Bones Highland. They don't have a number one guy.
It could be Teddy, dude. I'm not even kidding. It could just be some shoot the ball.
Teddy, is he in the rotation?
Probably
not. I'm just curious to see if they're any good. I asked Ryan Bowen today if he can get a gauge on if this team is ahead of schedule or behind schedule, just based on the summer league teams he's been involved in the past. And his answer kind of told me that they're behind schedule.
What was it?
Well, he goes, I was watching some summer league games last night or the other night, and I was like, wow, we got a ways to go.
Well, I'll tell you what, there are some teams, Oklahoma City, Memphis, Detroit, whose summer league teams are just their real teams. So
that's like, a good point.
Some of this is a little unfair, and they were beating the hell out of other teams as well. Another thing for Peyton Watson, because there's not that many like, clear, great matchup for him one-on-one, I want to see what he's like as a help side defender, because I think a lot has been made about his on-ball defense. For him to make it, he has to be an all-around great defender, and I want to see him. He'll be in help side a lot because he'll probably be guarding guys that just aren't that good offensively. Mm-hmm. So I want to see that one for sure. And then, like you guys both mentioned, offense, I just want to see something. I should mention, talking to some people, some coaches and stuff that were in attendance yesterday at the arena, they were like, you know, his offense has actually been really surprising, like pleasantly surprising. Yeah. He said some stuff. It's funny that Malone today said simplify. Maybe that was more of a reaction to today's scrimmages. But nonetheless, we know that it's going to be a mixed bag. I just hope it's a mixed bag. I hope it's not all bad. I hope we see some that's like, oh, interesting. He has ways of scoring.
Right. I agree.
Ishmael Kamagate.
Man, I don't know. I want to see him block a lot of shots, but he didn't practice, I don't think, until today. I don't even know if he practiced today.
I don't think he's practiced.
Just like off to the side because he hasn't been able to be with the team until the trade that gave Denver that draft pick, the Jeremy Grant trade, went through. That right. happened like midway or right when the practice was wrapping up today. So I don't really have any expectations for him. He's kind of coming in cold. If he could block like five shots in a game, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Rim protection is, I guess, the thing you pencil him in for. Again, you don't – at Summer League, you don't want to use like Sharpie. Pencil's better, but kind of expecting to see it. But is he more mobile on the perimeter than a Walker Kessler? Probably, right? That's the idea. But what does he look like if he gets switched out? And then I also fully expect him to be the best teammate of all time. Just smile.
Well, what's interesting about that, though, Vogt, is, look, there is the culture gap for him. He's not the only foreigner on the team. In fact, he's not the only French-speaking foreigner on the team, I believe. So he will have some company. But there is a thing about – he's probably the most outsider of all of the young players. Sure. And this includes Matt Mitchell and Adonis Arms and all the other guys that are vying for that final spot that we'll get to in next segment. But he's just an outsider in that he doesn't know these guys. He's coming from France. Like, he hasn't been in tournaments and talked to these guys and have mutual friends and this or that. And then you factor in that he's had to, by these dumb rules in the NBA,
right.
he's had to basically be in quarantine from the team. Like, he can't be on court. He can't be, like, talking and in huddles even and on the sideline. So there is this level of – when I asked at the media availability for Peyton Watson and Christian Brown, when I asked, like, did you guys know each other? They're like, no, we literally just met last week, and it was the first time we talked. But you can tell that over the course of this week, they've gotten to know each other a lot right. better. Ismail's yes. probably a little bit behind on all of that for both the language barrier, culture barrier, but also because of being quarantined from everyone else. That he will start from behind. So I do cut him a little bit of slack on that one. I think there's no question he probably deserves it. But I do think he's going to get a chance to play very, very early, if not right away.
Yeah. Well, he could start game one. Like, that's the starting lineup we think they'll have. Like, he'll be in that potentially because he's one of the Nuggets guys. You know, you want to play your guys.
Yeah. No. So is there things you want to see from him specifically, Vogt? Blocking shots?
Yeah, blocking shots, looking capable on the perimeter, maybe not like a newborn giraffe if he has to defend in space. And then curious offensively, I really don't know what to expect at all. So that's just an open-ended curiosity for me.
Yeah. I want to see he doesn't have, like, you go up against the best centers that they'll go against, there's like nobody. In fact, I think three of the teams don't have a center. They've got power forwards. They've got like one team. I can't remember.
Who are these teams that they're playing? They don't have any offensive players. They don't have any centers or power forwards. Who are these teams?
Honestly, well, you never know if a team in Summer League is good because like Jimmer Fredette was the best player in Summer League one year, even though everybody knew he wasn't coming to the NBA again. He'd already done his NBA experience. So these good teams can still be good teams. But when you just talk about top prospects, like guys that were picked in the top, I think Achai Agbaji is the top pick of any player that they'll go against. And that means this year and last year. So, yeah. Like, all the Summer League teams don't have anybody that was picked above 15. That's all I mean. And same goes for centers. Like, there's just a lot of teams that don't have centers that he'll go up against. So I want to see him dominate athletically. We know that he's a great athlete. I want to see him switch out onto the perimeter because I'm told that's a big part of it, of his game. So I want to see, does he get switched out there? How does he do? And also, by the way, another great thing about Summer League, no scouting reports. So a lot of these guards, especially, you talk about the most high volume player in Summer League, it's always the like undrafted high volume scoring point guard,
undersized
point guards. So, you know, those guys are going to get switched out onto Kamagate, have no idea who he is and be like, oh, this is my chance to show everybody what I got. So I hope he gets challenged like that. And I hope he steps up. And then lastly, I'm curious what his hand eye coordination looks like. I saw him doing some hand-eye coordination drills the other day. This is such a big thing for big men, especially big men that came to the game late, which is him. I want to see, does he catch passes cleanly? Does he have good touch around the rim? Not on like set shots, but just on like tips and things like that. That's a skill set I don't really know what the scouting report is on him.
I saw him do those drills too, and my read was he's got some work to do there.
There's a reason I brought this up on my list. I didn't want to go full there because it's kind of unfair, but it was a thing where I was like, oh, okay, he's doing – those are some like, Skyview High School basketball camp summer 1996 drills. But okay, I gotta like again, but that, again, not to say anything good or bad about him. Just
yeah,
a note.
I just don't have too high expectations for him because he's just hasn't been playing this whole week.
Right, right. Of those three guys, who are you most excited to kind of track?
Oh, Christian Brown for sure. He's the number one guy for me, most intriguing, definitely, because he's the one guy on this summer league team that you can really see a pathway to contributing next season for the Nuggets. It's clearly Christian Brown for me.
Vote.
I have the exact same answer, boss. Sorry.
For me, it's Peyton Watson. And part of this is just because Christian Brown can have a good summer league or a bad summer league. And I feel like it's not going to mean it. Similar to Zeke Nagy, it'll mean something to our overall sort of excitement levels and like this or that. But at the end of the day, we know he's going to get his opportunities. Peyton Watson's the one to me that is just such a mystery. I just don't know. I'm really curious to watch him because I see a scenario where next week we're like, man, that guy has something. Jokic didn't enter summer league with any fanfare. And by the end of it, you're like, hey, I get it now. I get why this guy's special. I hope we see the same thing for Peyton Watson. And also on the table is that we get out there and we're like, holy hell, this guy has a long way to go in a lot of areas. So he's the guy I'm most interested in. Let's take a break. On the other side, Colin Gillespie, Matt Mitchell, Adonis Arms, a couple other names to throw at you that are all super fascinating for this week. I'm excited.
Breckenridge Brewery is the official beer of DNVR. Make sure to pick up some Breck Brews this summer. Make sure to pick up some Good Company hard seltzers and lemonade seltzers as well. Perfect for the summer. Perfect for chilling in the park. Also, keep drinking the Mile High City Copper Lager. They keep making it, so keep drinking it, even though it's not Nugget season anymore. Pick up the Mile High City Copper Lager wherever Breck Brew is sold. If you're not local, if you don't know where you can get Breck Brew, check out the Breck Brew Beer Locator on their website. That will tell you where to get Breck Brew closest to you. Also, Ivaca TV, guy. If you're not set up with Ivaca TV, what are you doing? What are you doing with your life? They've got Nuggets games. They've got Avalanche games, Rapids games, Rockies games. They get Altitude, AT&T Sportsnet, other national channels as well. It's only $15 a month for those first 3 months. You get that price with the promo code DNVR. Gives you $10 off your first 3 months. That makes the price come out to $15 a month for the first 3 months, plus a receiver. Go to ivaca.tv/DNVR, ivaca.tv/DNVR to get set up with them.
We back. All right, Colin Gillespie, another guy. I mean, he's the next guy up because he is already given a two-way contract with the Denver Nuggets, so he will be part of that Grand Rapids team. And by the way, despite what Michael Malone says, Bones Highland very likely to be the backup point guard. So I think even though that there's the Ish Smith competition is out there, I would be shocked if it was him. Ish Smith, Colin Gillespie is almost more of a battle to me. Like there is a chance that Colin Gillespie can really develop into a guy that's like, hey, if in a pinch, can we trust this guy to go out there? You would probably rather Colin Gillespie be that guy because you can have him for longer. You can like, you know, it's more meaningful to you. So he's a guy that I'm intrigued by. What do you want to see out of him, Vote, this week? What are your expectations? What do you want to see?
I mean, it's with him, it's sort of built in the answer if anyone who's watched him, but just be that guy, be a high floor general, a point guard. This is a very different two-way guard contract than Marcus Howard. That's the way I would frame it. One guy you're thinking maybe he gives you 20 in a crazy half. And if you don't get that, you're probably not getting much else. Colin is a guy who in theory could definitely be playable, who could definitely work his way into a backup guard in this league. It's hard to, he just plays the position in a very traditional low mistake kind of way.
I look at Colin Gillespie the same way I looked at Monte Morris coming out of college. They have a very similar profile and background coming into this team. And yeah, Colin Gillespie, maybe he could give the Nuggets something. I think he's largely going to be in the G League, kind of like Monte Morris was, but they could turn to him at times. I think he might be the second most important player on the summer league team because
point guard's going to
need, they're going to need somebody to get everybody in line and, you know, to have some sort of organization out there. You got Christian Brown, but I think it's going to be Colin Gillespie who is getting everybody in line. Like that's what I want to see. Is Denver organized? If they are, I think it's because he's kind of making his presence felt.
I mean, that's what I want to see. You think about the utility he could have for Denver. And by the way, I'm not saying Denver is going to count on him. I'm just saying, like, if Jamal Murray or Bones Highland or Ish Smith roll an ankle, they might say, like, hey, we need to call him up. Sure. Now he is in line to play should he be needed. That's all I mean. I don't think there's a realistic scenario where he performs so well where it's like, you know what? Bump somebody from the rotation. He's in. I don't think that's the case. But saying that, the thing Denver would need from him, should they need him, is point guard play. And so that's the number one thing. I mean, I know he can make shots. He did it at the college level at a very high level. I know, you know, he knows how to run pick and roll, so that'll be great. I just want to see, can he get the ball where it's supposed to go? Does he have command of the floor? Last year, the number one takeaway I had from Summer League was that Bones Highland is a point guard. I thought he was a shooting guard, a combo guard, a scoring guard. Watching him last year, it was so evident. That's a guy that knows how to lead a team from the point guard spot. I want to see if Colin Gillespie has even if it's a different way of running a team, that same style of, hey, everybody, here's how we're doing things, communication, all of that stuff. So I hope to see it because it'd be encouraging. Now let's get into some of these guys. Denver has one more two-way spot open, and I believe, I feel pretty confident saying, it is likely going to go to one of the next guys we're about to talk about, one of these guys that are on the roster. It could always go outside. You know, they could always end up just signing a completely different guy. But I think there are some real candidates here. I want to start with Matt Mitchell. A lot of buzz yesterday around Ball Arena about Matt Mitchell and just how great of a player he's been. Was there some more buzz today? Was there buzz from another name, Harrison? And why are you laughing? You don't like the Summer League preseason buzz?
No, I love it. It's just, I feel bad for the listener sometimes in these scenarios because they don't get how the buzz is made, you know?
No, they don't see
how the buzz is made.
Yeah. Hey, I'm telling you though, like this thing about buzz, like this is you want it to be a good player. It's not like, you know, this weird rumor mill.
Sure,
like, hey, who looked good? Yeah. You talk to a bunch of different people, you get different answers, but you get a lot of the same ones. And it's like, hey, and one name that keeps popping up.
Or sometimes you just see the corner of a whiteboard and you're like, oh, I guess that's who it is.
You're right though. Matt Mitchell has been getting a lot of buzz this week. I have him as the leader in the clubhouse for the two-way contract. I might even go as far as to say it's kind of his to lose. I think like he could be the guy for sure. Can he be a elite perimeter defender? Like that's what could win it for him. And can he shoot it better than he has in the past? I think he's going to start for this team. He's going to be the fifth starter. Yeah.
Quick overview here. So, because most people probably haven't done the research here. 6'6", 6'7", is that about the height?
6'6".
6'6". A thick-bodied guy, man. I mean, he's a football build more than a basketball build. He has a really, really big lower body frame on him. I mean, he's a big, like, big chest, you know, big belly too. But he's really got, like, just thick legs. Well, what I mean why that is important is, when you watch this guy defend, if he's going to make it on the Nuggets, it's because of his ability to guard multiple positions, especially out on the perimeter. He's got a body of maybe not quite a Grant Williams, somewhere of a Boris Diaw, Draymond Green, Grant Williams type. David Roddy. He's got a lot of David Roddy in his game, to be honest with you, in that he's this undersized guy who plays strong, but also just has great body control, moves his feet incredibly well. One of the stories I heard out of yesterday's practice is, during that scrimmage with Jamal, gets switched out on him or is guarding him, locks him up for one possession on a very impressive play. Murray makes a great move. He sticks with him, challenges the shot or whatever. So he's a guy that I think has impressed because of his ability to keep people in front of him. And so that's sort of his MO. Out of San Diego State, by the way, as Chris Marlowe was quick to let me know in talking to him. Big San Diego State guy, Chris Marlowe.
Go Aztecs, you know.
Go Aztecs. Following in the footsteps of a young Chris Marlowe as well himself. He's a guy that was a bit more of an offensive player. I don't love his offensive game. One of the things I'm looking for in him is his shot profile, because I just don't think he's that great of an offensive guy at the NBA level. He's more of a don't shoot it type guy, like just fill in the cracks. But defensively, I'm very intrigued by how mobile he is for a guy with his build.
Yeah, and he played in France last season, so, you know, he was playing professional competition. And, it's going to come down to defense for him. Can he be just an unbelievable defender at Summer League? I think if he is, he could get the two-way spot.
I think if he is, he is getting that two-way spot. This front office sure seems to have a type. And if
I don't, Adonis Arms fits the profile too. I actually
think that's another good name.
I think there are a couple guys that are the door is open for him. I do think that there is something too. Like if you just look at what type of guys they've kind of said they want, Mitchell is no question one of them. Arms, no question, another one of them. And some of these other guys, by the way, also fit the profile. So we'll see. I think it's wide open at this very moment for that spot. Anything else on Mitchell before we move on? Rebounding for me is the other note. Only other note. He wasn't necessarily a prolific rebounder because he's a below the rim player. Even though he has some athleticism, he can get up and dunk it and this or that. He's still more of a David Roddy. Like, you know, when he dunks, it's usually because he has a runway and he gets up or this or that. So I think rebounding is one area where I want to see, does he contribute to rebounding? Mm-hmm. All right. Adonis Arms, Harrison.
Adonis Arms, 6'5" guard out of Texas Tech. He's got an interesting story. He was at community college for a couple seasons, then went to the school Northwest Nazarene that I have no idea if it's even a school. Then he took a redshirt season at Winthrop, played 23 games for Winthrop the next season, then finished his career at Texas Tech.
Some good defensive programs there. Like, that's like intense defensive programs.
Yeah, Northwest Nazarene. You know, they're known for getting in a stance. What you need to know about Adonis Arms is that he is a defender and he's a mega athlete. He's a ridiculous athlete. He's rumored to have a 45-inch vertical and he's got a 7-foot wingspan. He fits the Calvin Booth profile. Like, these are the types of guys that Calvin Booth likes.
Oh, I didn't realize he had a 45-inch vertical. Yeah. Holy hell. Adonis legs.
Yeah, both these guys fit the type designation we outlined. One of them has a top-shelf summer league name, though, and it's Adonis, who I do plan on asking if he has any sort of personal responsibility in having sick biceps, if he feels any of that.
I'm sure he's going to love that one. I'm sure nobody's ever asked him that one before.
I'm going to ask him that for sure. But I'm really excited to see him play. This is a guy who has a legit shot at that spot, but B is also has a chance to make the summer league team more fun for multiple reasons.
He kind of reminds me of Torrey Craig in some ways. Like, Torrey Craig's a really good athlete. And I don't even think that's a hidden part of his game. Like, he used his strength and athleticism on both ends of the court, grabbing rebounds, defending with strength, you know, kind of barreling through guys. He had what I would consider a clunky game, but it worked in his advantage. Adonis Arms is a little bit smaller, a little bit skinnier, I would say, than Torrey Craig. Maybe not even skinnier, just smaller. Just shrink it down just a little bit. But 45-inch vertical is a top 99th percentile vertical. An NBA full of guys with great verticals, 45-inch. Like, there might be one guy at the combine every 2 years that gets up that high. So That's a pretty impressive vertical for him. And I've heard that he's also, same thing, defensively, just makes things happen. You know, he's always doing something. He's staying in front of guys, or he's getting loose balls or put back. The Nuggets tweeted out a putback dunk he had in the scrimmage yesterday that was like an effortless little, like, awesome play. So to me, the difference between these two guys, Mitchell almost more of a David Roddy type. You got Adonis Arms, who's maybe a little bit more of a Torrey Craig type. The difference to me is that with Mitchell, as much as I love him, high IQ player, built like Boris Diaw, my guy.
Oh, there you go.
But you do wonder, like, where is the upside there? What's the upside play for a guy that sort of doesn't have some of these other things? Adonis Arms is a guy that has this, like, oh my God, he's going to jump out the gym. He's going to be able to do this. I'm kind of curious to see who has more of an impact because they do the same role differently.
Good point.
Look, I'm not going to act like I'm an expert on either of these guys. I like Adonis Arms more, though. That's where I'm at heading into summer league. I like Adonis Arms a bit more than Matt Mitchell.
Well, there you go. Let's get to some of these other guys. Those two guys, I think you would handicap them 1-2 in some order. Maybe DraftKings odds right now are plus. Yeah, you get both of them for plus 150. It's really good. Let's take a look at the rest of the field because there's some other guys that would not surprise. Let's go to Jack White.
Jack White, we spoke to him today, actually. So he played at Duke, but he's from Australia, and he's played his last 2 years at Melbourne in the same league that Torrey Craig played in before he came over to Denver. He's a 6'7 forward. He is a classic glue guy, classic role player. He kind of has played a Joe Ingles-ish role on every team that he's been on. a guy to fill in the gaps. He can shoot it a little.
Come on, man. A joke.
I know you do this on purpose, Whit.
I know you have to do it.
Straight face, he just says it.
Oh man, I almost made it through that whole
Crocodile thing. Dundee. He's got some Crocodile Dundee to his game.
But he is Joe Ingles in the sense that he's a role player who's going to play his role and is a jack of all trades, master of none. He's going to play winning basketball. I actually like Jack White.
What does he bring to the team? I mean, is there besides Joe Ingles? To me, I would call a high IQ like point forward. He's not a point forward, is he?
He's more of a traditional forward. Rebounding, I think, defense, passing. He honestly does everything pretty good. I don't know if he's elite at any skill. I think he's pretty good at a lot of things.
The DNVR, we got to be rooting hard against Matt Mitchell just for SEO purposes. Because we got Adonis Arms and Jack White. Both guys are just going to pump up our SEO so much. So
correct.
These are two guys that will really help us.
I like the initial vibes from Jack White today, meeting him, which I know is important to everyone at home. He did tell us actually, this is not sort of in the Nuggets vein, but just sort of an interesting detail. He said that all the Australian NBAers are very close. So he has a relationship with all of those guys already, that they root for each other, that they're supportive of each other. 6'7", legitimate small forward. So maybe one thing he does well is be a thing that is extinct in the NBA.
And so taller than the other two guys. By the way, you mentioned like enjoying his presence or whatever. I've actually thought that about all these guys. Like, honestly, it's one of the Peyton Watson, Christian Brown, Colin Gillespie, Matt Mitchell, Donis Arms, Jack White. All of these guys have actually been, I would say, like A+ in their media availabilities, A to A+, just in their like, they've come off as thoughtful and you know, it's just come off really, really impressive. So I've enjoyed all of them. There have been, sometimes you get a guy and you're like, man, that guy can't talk, put a sentence together or what have you. But
say a name.
Well, I'm not going to do that. All but
right. I'll ask you later.
What else do we have? I think we got one more. Kellen Grady.
Kellen Grady's the other guy. I know people in the Nuggets front office really like him. 6'3 guard out of Kentucky. Another older player, which is definitely a theme of these four guys. They're all 24 years old, I actually think. Yeah, so they're all on the older side of guys that you would usually give a two-way contract to. Grady, he's a fifth-year senior. He played at Kentucky last season. Before that, he played at Davidson. He's a shooter, plain and simple. He's a knockdown shooter who doesn't need a lot of airspace. Catch and shoot, coming off screens, step backs. He's got a quick release, and he's got a wet shot. Like, he is a smooth shooter. I saw him make two threes in the scrimmage.
3-point
at the end of it on Tuesday. I saw him pump fake from three and take it to the rim. I don't know if he's going to get the two-way spot, but I think he's going to be in Grand Rapids for sure. And he's a knockdown shooter.
I like that. I mean, it's definitely going to be a piece that's needed. I expect him to play as well. I think those Adonis Arms, Mitchell, I think probably Mitchell starts. That's just my hunch. Talking to some people, I would guess he's the starter. Adonis Arms, every night kind of player. Who else do we have? Jack White, I think, an every night kind of player. And then you start to get into these other guys. I think Kellen might be the last every night kind of player that we probably expect to see him, especially if you need a little bit extra shooting out there and just given that he's in a guard spot. We have a couple more we'll kind of just fly through here. One is Jontay Porter. Obviously, Michael Porter's brother, another guy who was absolutely pleasant to talk to. Like, I gotta give this detail because it's so important.
Yeah,
I gotta give this detail. He was asked about Nikola Jokic, and everybody will say the same things, right? You know, the talk. But we know that Michael Porter, obviously, teammates with him, they have a relationship. This or that. Jonte might have gushed about Nikola Jokic more than any player I've ever seen. Like, he truly admires him, not as in just this like player, because he talked obviously about his game and he was asked to be compared to him. And he's like, oh, come on, guys. Like, you know, like I aspire to be that, but come on, it's Nikola freaking Jokic.
He was gushing about him so much that I had to turn to you mid answer and like give a smirk because I couldn't believe how great of an answer that Jontay Porter gave.
But the thing that was even more over the top about it was he's raving about him as a person. You know, being around him, he's like, I've gotten to be around him or this or that. I was talking about and just the example he sets. And he kept saying, like, it's no wonder why the Nuggets are such a success. It's, you know, like basically just going all in. It's like all because of him or this and that. And I just like, it's one of those things where we have this outside perspective, and I'm not saying what he says reflects how Michael Porter feels or any of that stuff, but it was one of those things where you hear him talk and you're like, the appreciation is so deep and so like spread so widely that you're like, it was just cool to hear. It clearly Jonte looks up to Jokic the way I look up to Jokic.
Wow. Look at that. Look, Jonte Porter. I mean, the story with him is he's injury prone, like his brother and a lot of people in that family. He took the entire last year off just rehabbing his knee. And he said, I'm going to give it one more go. And this is, I guess, the go he's given it to see if he can find a place in the league and, you know, find a spot. So I feel like he's got probably great perspective just being, you know, on the road that he's been on, similar to his brother. He just seems like he's super grounded and a super good kid.
Man, the basketball journey of that family has been something, huh? A lot of talent and a lot of injuries, and I think a lot of different ways for both of those players to sort of, I don't want to say be humble, just learn lessons at a young age.
And I find the Porters to be significantly more interesting. You know, like there's more, a lot more stories to be told about the Porter household and family, I think, than are out there. Like oftentimes these guys become a caricature for various reasons,
some
self-created or what have you. But here's what I'll say. Talking to Jonte yesterday, it doesn't work out for him in the NBA. We might have to bump vote from the show, man. This guy was incredible. Like some of the insights, he was so charming and just so like, I just was like sitting there hanging on every word. I was so captivated by his interview and stuff. I was like, this is a media member right here. This guy is
that's crazy. Wow.
He was great. Yeah.
And he would help the Olympics a little bit more, I think, vote. We'll see how you do in the
three. He would probably help get him for at least that portion of it.
Just the portion of the Olympics.
Yeah.
So I'm rooting for him as well. I don't know if this is so much a tryout for the Nuggets, if it's a part of his road back to recovery, if it's an audition for other teams. But I like Jonte as a player prior to his injuries. He really does, again, as his own, he would admit, he's not as good as Jokic, but he has a Jokic game. I think it's very funny that Michael Porter grew up as the phenom from eighth grade, as the scorer, shoot first, second, and third type player, and Jonte grew up as the facilitator. Sometimes it just works that way, and it really was like a cool pairing of those two guys. So I love his game. I'm excited to watch him, and I hope I don't know how much he's going to play, but I hope he plays a lot. Is there one more guy we have to get to real quick, Wind?
Is there?
I thought there was one more shooter. I can't remember who it was.
You know, a guy we should probably touch on is Teddy Allen out of New Mexico State.
There you go.
He had a big game in the tournament recently. I don't know if he's gonna be like a every game rotation guy. He might be like the 10th guy or the 11th guy, but he's probably somebody to watch too. Another guy at 6'6". I wrote this in Wind Chimes today. 11 of the 16 players on this roster are between 6'5" and 6'9".
Yeah.
That's not a coincidence. Like, that's on purpose.
It's definitely not a coincidence. Denver, look, this is one thing I think we can say definitively about the Calvin Booth era. They have a very specific idea. I think they feel, I don't know if I would say 100% confident, because you always want to be open. I think they feel extremely confident about what it takes to win a title around Nikola Jokic, and they're going to try to find it. And this summer league team reflects that. Even though this is maybe not the number one way you're going to get there, it's part of that casting the wide net to find these types of guys.
Just want to say on Teddy, there's summer league folk hero potential. Like, he is just one of the all-time irrational confidence, like, will just take any shot, and if he's feeling it, he's not that's it.
It's funny, because last year, if you just polled like, okay, who Nuggets fans, where do you want to go here? Do you want Zeke Nagy or Bol Bol? People would have been like, Bol Bol, that's our guy. And sometimes the guys that shoot first, second, third, like, they shine a lot in summer league. So there's always a chance that the Nuggets main guys are defending really well, but not scoring that great. And you inject some of these other guys that just like fire off 40-foot terrible shots and make a few. And we're like, yeah. Yep.
It was funny, though. Last year, Bol Bol, Bones Highland, the Nuggets were one of the marquee teams at Summer League. They played a bunch of their games at the main court, Thomas and Max.
Right.
This year, I put this in the Slack the other day, this year, their first two games, that's what I looked at because that's what we're there for. They're both in Cox Pavilion. The first game, they're going up against the Warriors and I forget who else. Oh, and the Lakers. Yeah, and the Lakers. The second game, they're going up against the Warriors. There's going to be nobody watching these Nuggets games except for us, which is a good thing. That's a very good thing.
I love it. And we're Cox Pavilion. Honestly, Cox Pavilion is like your high school gym.
That's so our gym.
Hey, Jokic, when he played, by the way, his first year, every game in Cox Pavilion as well. So you know what?
Hey.
It's the best place to be. I'm excited for it, guys. We're going to say goodbye to Denver now. We're going to go to the Las Vegas. Has anybody checked the weather report? What's it look like? Is it pretty cool?
I don't check the weather.
Scattered showers. It's pretty
light. No, it's hot as shit, it looks
like. It's too hot to trot.
We're going to have a great time, and we hope you guys are around with us the entire time. We'll have podcasts out, but it won't just be podcast content. Usually our live shows, podcasts are one and the same. We'll still have all of our live shows and turn those into podcasts. But we're going to have additional content as well up on our YouTube page. RG's going to be out there. We're going to have the Olympics. We're going to have some special guests coming by the All City House. I'm very excited for it, guys. It's a big week for us. I hope it's going to be a big week for you guys right there along with us. If you're down there at Thomas and Mac or at Cox Pavilion, hit us up. Give us a shout out. Come talk to us. Come talk Nuggets with us, man. Maybe even be on a fan vote or something. Who knows? We might have to do that as well. Hit that like button on the way out, everybody.